the Mess It Up podcast, where we take your mess and turn it into a message. And now, here's the Bowtie Guy.
Trick or treat. Wait a minute. Wrong one. Happy Easter? Yeah, happy Easter. It's Easter time, folks, here on the Mess It Up podcast. I am your host, the Bowtie Guy, and you can tell the lovely tones of my beautiful wife, Bev, is joining me today.
Hi, everybody. Happy Easter.
Yeah, it's not Easter today when this
not
comes
quite.
Out. It's the Tuesday before Easter, so hopefully you've got your Easter plans all set. I've got some plans for Easter. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but it's just good to have you guys here joining us. And along for the ride, and thanks for taking the time. Real quick, I want to give you our word of the week. This week is tradition, not tradition. Sorry, it is not tradition. It was going to be tradition, and then that didn't work out. So the word of the week this week is convention, and a convention can be like a place where everybody goes to do something. You know, like you go to a trade convention or whatever. But the sense that we're using it in is that this is how things are normally done. We do this by convention.
Or like conventional, the conventional
way. The conventional wisdom, yeah, conventional way. Yeah, so if you can use convention or any form of the word in your sentences this week, give yourself 10 bonus points for Easter. Actually, give you, at some point during the show, I will say a number, and that'll be your Easter egg, and that'll be how many bonus points you get. It'll just be a number that I say, listen for the Easter egg
okay.
in the Easter show. Man, I love it when an idea comes right to me like that.
It's, don't forget, Paul. I'll wink at you just in case you...
Perfect. Okay. Perfect. I was taking a drink there, and unfortunately, I took a drink right in the middle of the whisper, so we couldn't do it. But it's going to be a little unconventional today on the word of the week. If you want to get a hold of me, and I need you to get a hold of me, people, I keep asking... You're not responding. I need words of the week. I need songs of the week. We are using, I had to look up a word of the week today before we recorded, and Bev gave me a song before we recorded. I'm out of songs and words. So please send those along on the email to bowtieguy@messituppodcast.com, or you can send me a text at 760-608-1942. And let me know your ideas for songs of the week and words of the week. They'd be greatly, greatly appreciated. You can also just use those to, you know, connect with me if you've got ideas for the show or thoughts about the show or just want to say hi. Always love to interact with you folks. So please make use of those things. If you want to know how to support the show, go to the website. It'll tell you. But our favorite way is the text to give, so you can check that out as well. We got Easter coming up, I said I have plans for Easter. Do you know our plans for Easter, Bev?
Not Bev's a clue. Looking...
So
I was just going to ask you, okay, so if you know what the plans are, you got to tell me.
I said I have plans for Easter. I didn't say we have plans
no,
for
that's
Easter.
True.
Maybe
we should have talked about that before we
well,
started
Well, I mean,
show.
You're definitely more than welcome to join me in my
Thank
Easter
you.
Plans.
Thank you.
But I can say this, I know the one thing that I'm going to do on Easter is we have a huge game coming up against Manchester City.
Nothing says Easter like British football.
Yeah, yeah. So 8:30 a.m. kickoff time. And it is this game will basically, it won't make us win the championship, but it has the potential to make us lose the championship. We can't win it on Sunday, but we can definitely lose it on Sunday because we would fall behind because we're fighting for first place with this team. So anyhow, that's my Sunday morning plans for Easter is to be watching Arsenal football. It's an unconventional way of doing things. It's not a traditional way of doing
right.
things. We used to, you know, we've gone to the church where we're going for quite some time, and they used to have a tradition of doing a community Easter egg hunt. And it was always, anytime you suggest Easter egg hunt at church, you run the possibility of having people get their eggs in a basket over it, because they don't like that it is not biblical. It has nothing to do with Easter. It's secular. And so I just wanted to kind of take a look at those kind of things that we do. You know, at Christmas time, we got Santa and all those types of deals. So I wanted to look at traditions and why we do them, what we do, and where we land on that. Because, like I said, it can be controversial. When I say that to you, Bev, Easter egg hunt, what do you think?
You know, growing up, Easter wasn't a big thing for us outside of the fact that we got new clothes. We did get a small Easter basket with a few things in it, but nothing big on that. I think maybe I might have done several Easter egg hunts with my Sunday school class, mm-hmm. you know, like the children's department would do an Easter egg hunt. But basically our, you know, in our home, we, the tradition was get together with our family because we had other family members that lived not too far away. And we always had ham. But basically it was just the day that was Resurrection Sunday. We didn't do a lot of secular stuff.
Yeah.
My mom usually made us a new dress, and we got new shoes and a new purse. And believe it or not, we got a new hat and gloves.
Well, there you go.
That's how old I am.
So there's a lot of things that go along with you know, Easter eggs. I always, we would come home and we would hunt for Easter eggs, and we would have a mixture of plastic eggs, chocolate foil wrapped eggs, and real eggs that we would color. And I loved coloring eggs when I was a child.
We did that too, though.
We always looked at, on the shelf, we had these eggs that were painted by my relatives, because my grandmother being Ukrainian, mom being Ukrainian, we had a lot of Ukrainian eggs, and some of them were quite ornate. There was a big goose egg that we had that was, I remember, it was fascinating to look at just how intricate the design on it was. But then there were also some that were wooden that my dad would let us play with that had been painted up, and they were not nearly as fancy as the actual egg that we had that was an egg. But we did the Easter egg hunt, and I think about Easter egg hunts, and then the White House always has their famous Easter egg roll. I don't really know much about an Easter egg roll, but I see that it says here, this is according to the Google, on Easter Sunday, many Scottish families participate in an egg rolling contest. After they boiled and painted, the decorated eggs are taken to the park where they are rolled down a hill. The person whose egg rolls the farthest is considered the winner.
Interesting.
It says that it's symbolic of the stone rolling back from Christ's tomb.
Wow. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. So, interesting on that. As a student of history, I find traditions interesting, where they come from. And I tend to lean on the side of not getting myself all riled up about things. For instance, it doesn't bother me when I see Merry Xmas. It doesn't bother me at all, because I know, first of all, that they use the X as a sign that they were Christians. That just doesn't bother me. And Easter egg hunts, I remember when I first heard of a church doing a big community Easter egg hunt, I thought, well, that's kind of interesting that they're doing that. It doesn't seem very, you know, Christy. And the church that did it was a church that had its own private Christian school. So I personally didn't have a problem with it, but I thought it was interesting that they would do it, being that they chose to have a separate place for their kids to go to school and not mix with the public. It seems that the churches where I've been, where they've done a community thing like this, it's done as an outreach. And I'm a big believer in meeting people where they are.
Right.
And I know that Easter does not have anything to do with a bunny. I know that Easter doesn't have anything to do with an egg. But I don't begrudge people doing that and knowing that it has become part of American tradition, mm-hmm. and Western civilization, you know, Christian civilization tradition to do these Easter egg hunts. But I feel like if I get too exercised about those kinds of things and say, you know, I put my foot in the ground and draw a line in the sand and say, this is not happening, that I run the risk of becoming Pharisaic.
Yeah.
And it smacks to me of the same concept as the Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate any holidays or birthdays because they all have pagan roots. So do I.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've got pagan roots.
Right, sure. And I mean, so not just you, me too.
Right, yeah. Well, and I think all of us do. And if I can reach a person because I'm having an event and they're like, bringing their kids down to get some, you know, candy. How does that make it so I can't reach that person? I mean, I was in church this weekend and the pastor made some pretty strong statements about Easter eggs that were disparaging and, you know, bunnies don't come from eggs and that's gross and doesn't make any sense anyway. And we know what it's about. And I understand that perspective, but I also know that at the end of summer, we're going to be doing a shoe giveaway. Shoes don't have anything to do with Jesus, but it's an outreach. Right. And it's a way that we reach people. And if we can reach people by doing these things, I think that there might be something good. I don't think I'm going to chase away a potential Christian and confuse them because of an Easter egg hunt. But I do think there's a chance for me to speak the gospel to someone that comes to an Easter egg hunt. So I think the potential for good is way more than the potential for bad. And I'm not just saying any way you can reach someone is fine, because I'm not saying, you know what, open up a adult movie theater to reach people who are addicted to pornography and, you know, preach the gospel to them. I'm not saying that that's what we should do, but I am saying that I don't see a breakdown in society and, you know, Christian conventionality by me doing this. Where do you fall on that?
I agree with you, and, you know, I'll respect somebody else's right to feel differently than I do, but here's the thing I think about, and I can't quote where it is in the Bible, but I know that there is a phrase in there that says, by all means, save some. And what that means to me is, as long as we're doing something that is not harmful to someone else, we're also not getting up on a platform and making a statement like, Easter is all about the Easter Bunny, or flat out, chickens are what we're celebrating here. I mean, yeah. Without making a statement like that, I see nothing harmful in that. And I do know that in the past, like the church that you were talking about, they had a huge attendance on Sunday morning for Easter. People who did come, who knew nothing about the church just because somebody had done something nice for them.
Yeah. The verse that you're talking about, by the way, 1 Corinthians 9:22, it says, and I'm going to go New Living. Okay. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weaknesses, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some.
Right, right. So I just, and I agree with you, you're not going to go out and have, you know, an adult store to bring people in. It is not even, I can't even equate it with that. Mm-hmm. There's no correlation there. But, you know, some of those same churches also do a harvest festival. And, you know, I hear these people coming in really gross and gory costumes, and but we're giving out candy, and there's a group up on a hay wagon singing Christian songs.
Yeah.
And handing out things to invite people to Sunday school and youth group. And I don't know. I just don't see the harm in that. And I'm glad my parents did not.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and, you know, if we start splitting hairs, it gets difficult to know when to stop splitting hairs.
Yes.
And where do we, you know, where is our line in the sand? And we'll talk about that in a little bit, but I just looked at the time and I see that we're at the point where I'd like to just take a little break here. I got to heat up my tea, but we are going to do a song this week that was brought to us by the lovely and talented Bev. This is a Torrin Wells song with Davies, Torrin Wells, and We the Kingdom. And the song is called Take It All Back. So we're going to give you about 90 seconds of it. And be back on the other side to talk to you about that and more talk about traditions. So here's The Gang with Take It All Back.
What the enemy stole. Oh, you can't speak your lies over my family, no. You can't break the promises that I'm standing on. Ain't got a flex to put you back in your place now. One name is all I gotta say. Jesus.
So there you go. A lot of people on that one. Bev, you brought this song, so I'll give you the first crack at it. What stood out? Why'd you bring this song to us?
I like the beat of it. I heard it in the car on K-Love, and I found myself wanting to tap my foot. It was fun. But I love the part where Torrin Wells is writing about, singing about, directly addressing Satan and challenging him with, we're done with all the mind games you try to play. It ain't clear yet. I want everything you took from me. In the name of the one who is peace, the one who heals all diseases, the only reason that I am free. And it does seem like that the whole concept of, you know, the Lord giving back the years that the locusts have eaten, it feels to me like I've only been hearing a lot about that verse in the last like 10 years. I never really paid a lot of attention. I had read it before, but it didn't stick out. It seems like it's kind of become part of Christianese. A lot of people use that phrase. And I love that it's usually at a time when they have been through a real, real trial, something that should have kept them down, but it didn't. And they're saying, you know what? This is my hope.
Mm-hmm.
This is my strength. This is what carries me through. And I know someday it's going to be better. I just love that thought. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And that was, by the way, that Torrin doesn't do that part. That's Davies. Yeah.
Yeah.
That stood out to me too, because I like that line that you said, if it ain't clear yet, I want everything you took from me. And that feeds into the first time I heard this song on the radio, the thing that stood out to me was in the chorus. It says, I'm storming the gates of hell.
Yes.
And
yes,
that is a statement. You know, when I have a problem with a person, I can address the problem. I can walk away. I can fight that person. There's a lot of options that I have. And quite frequently, my standpoint now is I choose to I choose to give up my right to fight.
Yes.
The person. I choose to turn the other cheek and walk away and not engage in the conflict with the person, because I had so much conflict in my life, and that's what I loved the conflict before I got in trouble. And so since coming home, I've tried to be less conflicty because I don't want that anymore.
Yeah, you say that, and I love that thought, but I also want to kind of put a little twist on it too. I don't pay a lot of attention to sports, although, you know, you have them on pretty much 24/7.
That's what we're doing for Easter, baby.
That's right. That's right. That's our Easter plans, folks. But anyway, I know that there's an offense and a defense to sports. And I think that storming the gates of hell it's not passive. It's also not defensive. It is offensive. You're going for it. You're saying, Lord, we're in this together. We're gonna fight this together.
And storming the gates, there's so much in that. It's such an evocative image.
Yes.
Because storming, I'm not alone.
Right.
I don't storm the gates by myself.
Right.
That's me attacking. Mm-hmm. Storming means there's a lot of people coming at it. So I've got partners with me. And he says, you know, I'm calling the angels down. So this is a holy battle that he's engaging in. But there's more than just me when we're storming. It also means we're not sneaking up. We're not coming in the middle of the night and sneaking up as close as we can and trying to, you know, check the door, see if they left it unlocked.
Yes.
We are coming at you. We're screaming and yelling. There's spit flying. We, you know, I imagine the scene from I can't think of it now. Blueface, Mel Gibson, where he is saying, "You can take our lives, but you'll never take our freedom."
Braveheart.
Yeah, the scene from Braveheart, and that they're painted up. They are ready for this, and they want to let them know, hey, we're coming for you. We're not afraid of you. We might die right here, but winning this battle is more important to me for the people behind me and around me than it is for me to keep on living without this battle being won. So there's that aspect of it. It's ugly. I am putting myself at risk because I'm going into your stronghold. Mm-hmm. I'm not calling you out onto the field of battle to say, let's wrestle, let's set some ground rules and we'll do this. I am going where you live and I'm taking what you took from me. I'm taking it back. And there's not a lot of things that would make me do that. Somebody, you know, you've got my kid, my grandkid, family member. Yeah, I'm coming into your house. I'm breaking glass. I'm kicking down doors. I'm finding my family. If you steal my stereo, okay, well, I'll, you know, call the police. If they don't do anything about it, I'll grumble. But I'm not going into your house over a stereo. But, you know, this is something important. And what Christ, or what the enemy has taken from us is our salvation.
Right.
Until we accept Christ and shun the devil, he owns our salvation. He owns our destiny.
Right.
But because the only way to heaven is through Christ.
But even after that, he can steal our peace.
Yeah.
He can steal our trust, mm-hmm. our faith, give us doubt. There's a lot of things he can still do, even though we're saved. Yeah.
Yeah.
One more thought. I love that, Paul. I hadn't really even thought about that, what you're saying about storming the gates of hell. But here's something I love. He says, one name is all I got to say.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's it. Because you're right. We are not alone. We always have God by our side. And that's the thing. You always make the statement that you pray for people's weakness because you don't want to be strong. You want to be able to be weak enough to allow God to be strong in you. Mm-hmm. and do the work for you. And I think that's what that says to us. We've got everything we need here to endure a trial. I love this. Really do.
Well, and that idea of saying the name, you know, I was watching a show on the Netflix because I wanted to, but it was a show that dealt with a criminal element, and this criminal gang was talking, and the one guy went to go talk to the other leader, and he was talking to him, just trying to talk to him and be reasonable as a person. And then it didn't go his way, and stuff happened, and he said, "Oh, why didn't you say the name of the person you were representing?
Oh, wow.
We wouldn't have had to do all this if I would have known you were with them."
Mm.
And I mean, that's why gang members get tattoos. They're saying who they're representing and who it is, and identify. It brings a clout. Mm-hmm. And we've got that, you know, Jesus.
Yeah.
We've got that name that we can say. They're like, "Oh, I'll mess with you, but I won't mess with him. And if you're with him, then he's with you. And that means I can't mess with you." Right. And then the messers become the messies.
I see. And it's not about magic or anything like that. It's about power and authority.
Authority.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that word, authority, for
that,
sure.
That he can and will and does answer prayer and come in and save us. Not always the way we want.
No.
And not always in the time that we want either.
No.
But he does come through.
Yeah, he's the nope card.
And his way is best, right?
Yep, yep. And he's the nope card, so. Yep. Cool. Well, that was a long time talking about a song. I don't know if we ever talked about a song that much before, but yeah, good one. Real good one. Yeah. So if we're looking at the traditional things, and I think this kind of plays into that as well, that we have the tradition of things, let's say an Easter egg hunt, and they're built on, you know, like I said, you're splitting hairs. We're not doing it because it's not, you know, that's not biblical. We're not doing Santa Claus. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate because they say, well, these were based on a pagan thing. We're going to come in here, and this is Holy Week, and, you know, Catholics have not been eating meat. You know, they've been living on the fish diet for 40 days now, all through Lent, because of these traditions. And we say, well, we're not going to do the tradition, but we're celebrating Christmas. We do Christmas. We put up the Christmas trees. Jesus didn't have a Christmas tree. We have a problem with the Easter bunny. We have a problem with the Easter egg. We don't have a problem with a Christmas tree. We celebrate Christmas. That's the birthday of Christ. We celebrate Easter because that's when Christ was crucified and came back, resurrected. We don't have solid dates on these.
No.
Now, Christmas we celebrate, you know, December 25th. We know that. Easter comes and it's based on the old traditions of how they do it. It's, you know, it changes every year. And we're like, oh, when is Easter? This year, Easter's a little bit early. Why is it early? Well, because that's how the world, or how the rules work on how they do it. It occurs the first full moon following the vernal equinox that welcomes spring in the Northern Hemisphere. We're still basing the date on Easter on the moon, which is...
Yeah.
And nobody's saying that this is a problem. I'm going to go to church this weekend and I'm going to hear everybody, happy Easter, happy resurrection, blah, blah, blah. And it's based on that same thing. But if I bring them and say, well, I brought you an Easter egg, they're going to look at me as though I'm, you know, on fire.
And not everybody.
Right, and, you know, right. But those people who put that stick in the sand, they get in... They're wrapped in their own... And we pick these hills we want to die on based on these traditions and...
Or choose an offense you know, we choose to be in an offended position.
See, now that messed me up.
Yeah.
That's when we first started the show, we talked about, you know, Christine and I talked about things we're saying. That was going to be our catchphrase. Oh, that messed me up. And that messed me up. I was drinking and you made me stop drinking. While you said it, yes, we choose to be offended by these things. We're looking for what can offend us and how can we be.
And you know, I can't help but think, going back to Jesus's life, I mean, people were offended by him because he didn't do things the conventional way. Mm-hmm. His ways were different, but his heart was for people to know his Father. And so I think that he was creative. I think he met needs, but I think he was out there brushing elbows with people all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to offend anybody who has a different opinion than me either.
We won't save the lost if we don't mix with the lost. If we wait for the lost to come through our doors so that we can save them, not going to happen.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. We've got to be where they are, doing what they're doing, to extents,
right.
You know.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's going to be hard to save a drunk if you're not around a drunk.
Right. Yeah. I remember when we first started going to Celebrate Recovery and then became leaders, and you would say, you know, maybe we should just go down on a Saturday night, you know, and hang out at the bar, order a Coke, and just mingle with people. And I was like, not a chance. And I realized that attitude was not the greatest. Now, that doesn't mean that I was called to do that. Doesn't mean I wasn't called. Mm-hmm. I still don't know that I'd be comfortable to that. But that's what we do when we go into the prison. You know, we go into their world and try to mingle and show them what the love of Christ can do.
Yeah.
So,
and it's like I said, we can't save a drunk if we don't mingle with a drunk.
Right.
And we also probably aren't going to save them if we let that drunk know that we're better than them and we don't like them.
Right.
And so that's not the Jesus that I saw.
No.
And that's not the Jesus that I think died for me.
No.
Because he rubbed elbows with me and I was worse than a drunk in many ways. So, well, anyhow, I'm hoping that this finds you on a great Holy Week. Enjoy your Easter. Remember, you know, Good Friday has some rough images, but resurrection's coming.
Yeah,
and we have that. Just our life is Good Friday, but our salvation is Easter Sunday.
And it is good to go back and think of what occurred and historically what Jesus did for us.
Yeah.
Because it can be really hard to look at, but I think it's really necessary to realize the price.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you for doing this, Bev. I hope that
You're welcome.
Guys have a great Easter. We will see you again next week with a new show. We've got some guests lined up to talk about some cool things. I've just got to get it nailed down. But we'll be here again for another show, and we will see you next time.
We mess it up. And get out there and buy your Cadbury eggs, because they're usually gone by Easter.
Or not, because they're gross. Get you some Peeps.
Oh no, they're so good.
Thanks for checking out the Mess It Up podcast. If you've got any questions or feedback, please email info@messituppodcast.com. Don't forget to share with your friends, and we'll see you next time we mess it up.